Thank you for watching or listening to this free podcast of the Young Turks. We want to make sure that you get some portion of the show every day. But if you want the full show, which is actually 5 segments, come become a member and support independent media as well. TYTnetwork.com/join. Meanwhile, enjoy the free podcast. All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Cenk Uygur, John Iadarola. Lovely Wednesday afternoon for you guys. Well, depends on where you are in the world watching this. First of all, it might not be the afternoon. Second of all, it might not be lovely. Mm-hmm.
Time is relative.
Yes. In terms of the show, we do have lovely news for you guys. Excellent news in terms of how things are progressing among progressives. And who is becoming really progressive lately? Interesting. So that's the good news.
Is that okay. This hour?
That is. That's okay, this hour.
I think I know what you mean. Okay.
All right. I think it's actually, I think it's great, great news for a number of reasons.
Okay.
I hope so. And then, of course, as usual, we have bad news. First of all, a story in the second hour really shook me. And it's about another thing that was privatized that should not have been privatized and how it has led to us dehumanizing each other. Mm. Man, that is a brutal story. And there's so much to fix in this country, and hopefully we'll get a chance to do all that. I want to start with two other things before we go to the scrote story. first of all, if you're anywhere near Connecticut, you can come see me talk tomorrow. Yeah, I'm leaving early in the morning from LA here, and I'll be there in the afternoon at the Yale Political Union giving a speech there about money and politics and other issues. And you can go to that by going to tytnetwork.com/Yale speech. That'll redirect you to where you can find out more information about when I'm speaking tomorrow. And then on Sunday, we're doing a meetup in DC, and I'll give a speech there too. And Hassan Piker will be there, and Nomi Kikas will be there. So that's tyt.com/DC meetup. tyt.com/DC meetup. Now, that one we have to defray the cost of renting out the place, etc. But real easy peasy there. The tickets that are left, it starts at 11 a.m. The 10 a.m. tickets are already gone. I told you they'd sell out. I told you you needed to panic, but they're gone already. So the 11 a.m. general admission is just $15. So tyt.com/DC meetup. And I hope to see you in D.C. This weekend. All right. I have breaking news, such as it is. Kanye West has, in fact, publicly declared his love for Donald Trump. He said it in a tweet that his love will be unabated despite what the mob says, and that he has freedom of thought, and that he and Donald are dragons together.
Hmm. Dragon blood.
Okay, well, I did not know that they were Targaryens. And I thought Donald Trump was Baratheon, Joffrey Baratheon in specific. So then Donald Trump then retweeted with a thank you and much love or something along those lines. So peas in a pod. John, just a fun little game here, which is let's and start it. And we're not going to do it. You guys are going to do it. I'll give you a quick thing here, way to get it going, which is let's name the reality show that that they will inevitably have together as soon as Donald Trump is impeached. So one obvious one is Dumb and Dumber. Okay. Mm-hmm. Another one that I suggested online is Bosom Buddies. It's just, you know, and then, you know, there's no play on words there. And then there's Trading Places. So when Trump gets impeached, then Kanye can take over because he's thinking of running for president. He put out a tweet just says 2024.
Yeah.
Okay. I like Game of Loans because.
That's pretty good.
And then they could have it's a reality show, they could have a contest for who's going to go out of business first, who's going to bankrupt themselves first. Trump has done it 6 times. Kanye has done it once, but spectacularly. He's $53 million in debt.
Well, in that case, I would probably go with, if it's a reality show, Bankruptcy Survivor.
Okay.
Or possibly secretly supporting Big Brother. Maybe.
and I got a new nickname for this for these Bosom Buddies. Danye. Okay, so we can get that started. There was Kim Ye, now there's Donye. D-O-N-Y-E. You could use it as a hashtag if you like. So in the comment section, if you're watching this later, give us some suggestions for what should we should name their upcoming disastrous reality show after Trump is out of office and before Kanye is in. Kanye is so stupid, he actually thinks he could be president. Two mentally challenged peas in a pod.
Yeah. Well,
give peas a chance. Maybe that's another possibility.
Maybe. And then he tweeted out a picture of his signed MAGA hat. And then Trump just yelled MAGA at him. So they become cavemen. You want to know what's really funny? This is so weird. So before we launched into the news, you stopped to do this. I was going to.
Oh, really?
I was going to talk about this. Not as a full story, but just briefly, I was going to mention it because we're beyond parody. We're beyond self-parody. We're a self-parody parody at this point. Our country is a complete joke.
No.
And unfortunately, the joke is on us. Like, a lot of people sort of seem to be viewing this as if they're outsiders to what's going on, as if all of the terrible economic and political news is just like that they're looking at a country that it's happening to, but it's happening to us. It's hurting us, and it's unbearable.
You know, we're not the first ones, and we've said this a long time ago. We won't be the last ones to compare what we're going through right now to Idiocracy. Mm-hmm. But with Kanye and Donald Trump teaming up, I mean, it's almost the exact plot line.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're this close to just calling it Idiocracy. Maybe that'll be the name of their reality show.
That's true. The only thing that can save us is The Rock.
Yeah, because all we're missing is a wrestler.
That's true. That's true.
JR?
What is it that's different about this celebrity that's somehow fallen under the spell of the stupidity of our president? Like, what is it that makes this so much more groundbreaking than the fact that James Voight and James Woods, not James Woods,
John Voight John and James,
and James Woods.
Woods?
What's the difference that they're celebrities that happen to be
I'll tell you
rabid supporters, and then this changes the landscape of anything? Because then some people were saying once they saw Kanye with the MAGA hat and all that stuff, people, supporters of Trump's, online supporters, whoever they are, then would say, oh, see now, see if 5% of the black vote changes. It's the stupidity of thinking that black folks will vote for the craziness that they know is completely against them because of Kanye damn West. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
So he's another person who's just riding the wave of popularity on this, in my opinion. And if he actually believes all this BS, he's just another idiot.
So, well, there is two differences. So number one, the fact that he's a African-American celebrity is, of course, capturing people's attention.
Right.
And it's making them irrational. So, for example, I said, look, Kanye is narcissistic, kind of like Donald Trump. I would argue an empty celebrity, but that'll go to point number two in a second. Just as dumb as Donald Trump, and that is, that's pretty tough, man, to do that. And in so many different ways, grandiose bragging, totally unaware.
The bragging.
Yeah, yeah, and on and on and on. It's very similar to Trump. So I said, he seems like Trump's black twin. Mm-hmm. And then conservatives then let you go, oh, that's racist. Why? You use the word black. The word black is not racist. Okay, you called Kanye dumb. Yeah, you're allowed to say that certain individuals are dumb. In their mind, they really think, like, liberals say you cannot criticize any black person. Why? That's not what racism is. It's when you criticize a whole group of people based on the color of their skin or their ethnicity or nationality, etc. Not based on, you're telling me you think that liberals think there can't be any dumb black people? Herman Cain? almost anyone on Fox News? And the list goes on and on. I'm leaving Ben Carson out because he was once a surgeon. anyway, so I think that's captured people's attention and like, oh my God, it's a black guy who's supporting Trump, right? But the second reason is, and what bothers me about it and why I'm animated about it, JR, is because we know that all those other guys are idiots. I mean, nobody takes Ted Nugent seriously unless they're as dumb as Ted Nugent. So that guy craps his pants. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows all that stuff. But for whatever reason, there is a percentage of the country who thinks, no, Kanye is secretly brilliant. Every single thing he says is totally and utterly moronic and makes no sense. What the hell does it mean that they're dragons? What does that mean? What does that mean? But oh no, but dragon actually might actually mean something because it means something else because it's actually symbolic. It's not symbolic of anything. He's a moron. So that's why it bothers me that they give Kanye credibility. Like, whoa, now Kanye is supporting Trump. To JR's point, and so what? I would argue he is among the dumber celebrities we have. Don't make me do all the quotes I did on the show again yesterday. God. By the way, one that I had left out is when he was bankrupt and begging for money from Zuckerberg, he was $53 million in debt. This was just like last year. And he said to Zuckerberg and Larry Page, please bail me out. You owe it to people to give me money. Why? What is it? That's not a thing, right? And he said, giving me money is better for the world than giving it to some school in Africa. That's who Kanye West is. He has no morality. All he is a self-obsessed fool and a maniac, just like his bosom buddy, Donald Trump.
You are more mad at him than I'm mad at anything. You hate him more than I hate global warming.
No, I hate the irrationality
of people. I agree.
That's the thing that drives me crazy.
I don't necessarily think this is an important story. I do think it's funny and also fitting because America has just rapidly descended into just dueling cults of personality. And so should we be surprised that this is what our political discourse has become? Two totally self-obsessed megalomaniacs. I mean, most of the people talking about, like, most of them, the people who are opposing them, are also trying to cultivate. If they don't already have a cult of personality, they're trying to get some cultists. We have larger problems in America, and this is symptomatic of it.
All right, now let's go on to the political
stories. Okay, let's do that.
Although, funny enough, in this insane world, Donald Trump or Kanye West is a political story. A couple of years ago, you'd have been like, oh, where's Omarosa and all this? Oh, wait, she was also in the White House.
Yeah.
Well, only one thing left, Flavor Flav.
There you go.
All right, let's
next
go.
Next VA head. Okay. Dr. Ronnie Jackson wants to be the next head of the Department of Veteran Affairs, but every day that passes lately, it seems like that is less likely to actually happen. This morning, we had some new allegations against Ronnie Jackson, and this afternoon, we have even newer new allegations against him. And so we're going to dig into those today. The Senate Veteran Affairs Committee announced on Tuesday that it was postponing Jackson's confirmation hearing while it reviews allegations of hostile work behavior, excessive drinking on the job, and impropriety in dispensing medication brought forward by at least 20 current and former military members. Jackson has reportedly denied all of the allegations, although that's a lot. I mean, you have a couple dozen people coming out against you, and it goes further than that. Ronnie Jackson was nicknamed the Candy Man for his leniency in handing out prescription medication like Ambien to White House staffers and even journalists on long flights. Jackson also reportedly drunkenly banged on the hotel room door of a female employee during a trip overseas in 2015, so loudly that the Secret Service had to get involved to keep him from waking then-President Obama up. And that female staffer said she felt extremely uncomfortable during that situation.
So a couple of things there. One, you know, you do somebody a solid and give them a prescription drug on a plane, and next thing you know, they rat you out. Anyway, the Secret Service is not worried about the woman inside the room as he's banging on it drunk. Yeah. Like, you might wake up someone else. Yeah. We're more worried about the president's sleep than we are about the woman inside. I'm being a little unfair. I'm sure they wanted to stop him for a couple of reasons. And the name Candyman is both awesome and disastrous. If it's in a Quentin Tarantino movie, that dude's going to do some damage. Watch out for the Candyman, right? On the other hand, you don't want the nickname Candyman because it's either this or it has something to do with giving candy out to people you shouldn't be giving it to.
That's okay. True. That's true. One of the few nicknames I haven't yet gotten here at TYT.
Oh, no.
Anyway, we have more, although mine is close enough. Dr. Jackson also provided a, quote, large supply of Percocet, a prescription opioid, to a White House military office staff member, throwing his own medical staff into a panic when they couldn't account for the missing drugs. A nurse on his staff said Dr. Jackson had written himself prescriptions, and when caught, he asked a physician assistant to provide the medication to him. And at a Secret Service going away party, the doctor got intoxicated and wrecked a government vehicle, leading many to say that you can say a lot about Dr. Ronnie Jackson, but you can't say he doesn't know how to party. But anyway, this is a long history of apparent excessive drinking. They talk about, there's one of the details of, I believe the Air Force is involved in protection when they travel, that he routinely would get drunk with. And that is a problem when you're the doctor's personal physician, or you're the president's personal physician. You need to be sort of together in case something happens. And let alone the ethical problems of writing himself prescriptions, which in some cases is acceptable. But certain types of medication, you cannot simply write prescriptions for yourself. And he apparently has been doing that.
I'm trying to figure out why I'm not 100% against Dr. Ronny Jackson. Okay, so let's figure it out together. First of all, if you watch one of our post games, and that's one of the benefits of membership, so tytnetwork.com/join, you would have gotten the longer version of this story. But quick version is, he was going to stitch up Bush's leg because he was Bush and Obama and Trump's doctor as White House physician. And he told a story to Bush to reassure him that he's good at this about how he had ripped his own scrotum and then stitched it up himself, which earned him the nickname from Bush, Scrote. Okay, so part of it is I think this Scrote's an interesting character, and it depends on the details. So if he got so wasted and he trashed the vehicle while it was parked, shouldn't do that, but kind of a fun story. If he got inside and drove, no, that's DUI, that's crazy, you can't do that, right? So it kind of depends on the details here.
That was the impression I got, but we're going to find out more this week.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess one of the reasons that I'm not super livid about it as I do or am on other issues is because it doesn't involve corruption. Like most of these guys are like robbing us blind. Mm-hmm. This guy just seems to, this guy, not JR, this guy just seems to have a problem, right? He might have a drinking problem. Like they go away on an international trip and he gets wasted. I mean, it could be, I don't know if he's got a chronic problem, in which case he should get some help, or if he's
just
having a good, yeah, or if he's just having a good time. So again, it depends, but of course, I know, guys, you can't do it. You're the physician to the president, as John pointed out. The reason you're on the trip is if there's a medical emergency to the president, not so you could have a good time and get wasted in Oktoberfest in Munich.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's partly those things. I think also partly, I think you have a bit of a soft spot for fraddish.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of On the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Behavior.
Huh,
I think that you look back with nostalgia on those sorts of days. And so when you see somebody living it up as he is, I think that to some extent you like that.
Yeah, and I'm not a substance abuse guy, and I think that's a disastrous path to go on. But it's not fratish, and I wasn't in a frat or anything like that. But yeah, I like to have fun. I like to get a little too intoxicated. If we're drinking, let's actually have some fun, right, etc. So but it is a giant caveat, and this is the problem with Dr. Ronny Jackson, apparently, according to the witnesses. As long as you're not harming anyone else, that's the most important thing. If you're having a good time, bless your heart, let loose. We only live once. But you can't do that on the job. You can't go knocking on a woman's door in the middle of the night. Jesus Christ, how unprofessional is that? And she was scared, et cetera. And they've got 20 witnesses. So he's in a world of trouble.
Yeah. Now, while all this bad information has come out about Ronny Jackson and his bid to become the next head of the Department of Veteran Affairs, the White House currently looks like it's actually going to stand by him, even as things get worse and worse throughout the day. So here is Sarah Huckabee Sanders defending him against these new charges.
Deny the allegations to President Trump in the meeting?
I
I'm not going to go line by line on every outrageous thing out there right now, but he certainly discussed them.
Did he also concerned about his lack of experience, which he cited yesterday during that press conference?
Look, I don't think, as I saw Senator Rounds earlier this morning, there's probably not a person around that has managed a department of over 300,000. And certainly he's a very highly qualified, highly respected person in the military and in the medical community. And that's something that we strongly feel that veterans need in the VA.
Sir. Is this what veterans need? I don't know. Look, there she says that this situation is outrageous. You're right. It is outrageous. It's outrageous the things that he's done that you either knew about and still wanted to make him the head of the VA or didn't actually know about. And they said today, there's no one they've vetted more than Ronnie Jackson. That's horrifying. What are you talking about? There's no one you vetted more? He's a drunk who might have been trying to sexually assault someone. We don't know for sure. It's allegations. We'll find out more. But what we found out in just a couple of days is very scary information.
If that's your vetting process on whether we should trust the rest of your nominees, don't vet on it. Okay, but look, last thing here. Why is the White House physician up for the head of the VA, as Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, that oversees 300,000 employees? It's actually one of the most management-intensive jobs in the whole federal government, because Trump likes him, gets along with him, and he said that Trump was a perfect specimen. That's why he's getting the job. That's the bigger story to me. But that he has no business getting this job at all. I might like to party with him. All the presidents liked him as a doctor. He gets along well with everyone. But does that mean he should manage 300,000 people for a job? He's qualified for other jobs, okay? But for a job he is not at all qualified for, just because the president kind of likes scrote.
Yeah.
Right?
And a job that needs major reform and that people's lives are depending on. And they're treating it like it's some sort of game. But he gets picked because he gave Trump the cartoon elephant test and said that his mind isn't leaking out of his ears. So he gets to be the head of the VA.
That's exactly right. So at the end of the day, don't get me wrong. Sorry, Dr. Jackson, but we can't have it. I'm here all week, folks.
Okay, we need a break, desperately.
Okay. All right. I was just trying to figure out how to do a scrote joke. All right, we got to go. We'll be back. Jackson might be in trouble. Who knows? They might stick with him anyway. We broke a story yesterday that I want to tell you guys about with TYT Investigates when we come back. And it's a more serious story that has more severe consequences. But it is a fascinating one about government officials who might want to make the rapture happen. You're right in the middle of this podcast. We've got another great segment coming up for you. If you'd like the full show, which is actually 5 segments, go to tytnetwork.com/join. You become a member, you support the show, you support independent media, and you get the whole 2-hour show ad-free every day. Let's go do it now. Back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Chris Durand writes it on Twitter, saved by the bankruptcy. We're still going with Danye titles. And Venkata Vamsi Naganeni writes in on YouTube Super Chat.
Okay.
The Trumpist. So all of these are fine suggestions for Trump and Kanye's reality show that they are inevitably going to do when he gets impeached. So.
How did you pronounce that name so well? Like,
I know, right?
Where did that come from? Did you
normally
know that
I'm terrible at pronouncing names, but I nailed that one.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
So, all right, 2 ways that you can see me tomorrow, not on the show. You and John are doing it, right?
Tomorrow, yes. John and I will be doing the show together.
Okay, great. So I'm going to be at Yale, not a big deal. Actually, anyway, Yale Political Union, open to the public though. So tytnetwork.com/Yale Speech directs you to where you can get more information. And then on Sunday, I'm going to be in DC. So that's tyt.com/meetup. No network on that one. tyt.com/meetup. I'm sorry, DC meetup. DC meetup. Me, Nomiki Konst, and Hassan Piker are going to be there. It's $15 to get in to defray the cost of the building, etc., and to make sure that you show up. So the early admission tickets are gone already. So general admission, 11 a.m., $15. Go to tyt.com/DC Meetup. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. A Fresno State University professor who had some strong words for Barbara Bush after she passed away was being threatened by possibly getting fired, but it turns out that university officials are not going to fire her because it turns out that she has something known as First Amendment rights. It's crazy. It's almost as if the Constitution has more than just the Second Amendment. Crazy. Yeah. So she's a tenured professor, but that is not the reason why she's able to keep her job. Fresno State is part of the Cal State University system in California. It is publicly funded, meaning that constitutional rights are intact. And if university officials fire her, they are literally violating her First Amendment rights. Now, the university carefully reviewed the facts and consulted with lawyers to determine whether we could take disciplinary action. We have concluded that Professor Girard did not violate any CSU or university policies and that she was acting in a private capacity and speaking about a public matter on her personal Twitter account. Her comments, although disrespectful or disgraceful, are protected free speech under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. So it seemed as though the university officials really wanted to make it clear that they did not like the way that she handled this situation. They did not like her tweets. But even given the fact that they didn't like the tweets, they still have no right to fire her.
So a couple of points here that are important. First of all, it bothers me that they keep calling it disgraceful. And that goes to a much larger point. Because in America, if you are in favor of a war that kills millions of people, not a big deal. Millions of civilians, by the way. Man, that's a minor offense. A lot of those guys are back in government. John Bolton, now National Security Advisor. Mike Pompeo, probably going to become Secretary of State soon, et cetera, et cetera. They're all over government. Everybody applauds them. Yes, bravo, honorable gentlemen. And obviously George W. Bush, Barbara Bush's son, et cetera. But if you are slightly disrespectful to anyone in power, woo, that's the third rail. You can't do that. That's a major, major offense. We should all have a national conversation about whether you should be fired. How dare you? Mm-hmm. Nobody gets fired for actually killing the civilians, but you get fired for saying, hey, that wasn't such a great idea to support the idea to kill the civilians. And that's what she had attacked Barbara Bush about. She said 1.5 million dead Iraqis, and she raised a war criminal and was in favor of the Iraq war. By the way, when asked about civilian deaths in Iraq, Barbara Bush said that her beautiful mind couldn't be bothered with that.
Yeah.
So I would argue that that is far more disgraceful a comment than anything the professor said.
Well, Barbara Bush was in a position of power. And as a person who has all the privilege in the world, you're able to refer to Hurricane Katrina victims who had to be displaced in, you know, the Houston Astrodome. You get to refer to them as underprivileged and they're better off in the Astrodome anyway. Like, you're able to make those types of disgraceful statements without having to worry about losing, you know, a job or really being negatively impacted by it. Look, I think that free speech on publicly funded college campuses is incredibly important, regardless of what the speech is, right? As long as you're not doing something unconstitutional, inciting violence, screaming fire in a crowded room, you guys get the point. I believe in protecting that speech. I don't care if you're someone that I disagree with. I don't care if you're someone that I completely agree with. It's a free marketplace of ideas, and you can't have public employees firing people for speech or banning that type of speech.
So Washington Post pointed out, it was an unsatisfying conclusion for those who argued that tenure should not absolve Girard or anyone from the consequences of their vitriolic words. No, that's the whole point of tenure.
It is.
So it is to allow for words that offend, whether they're right wing or left wing, because you're in the free marketplace of ideas. Now, that leads us to point number three, which is the hypocrisy of the right wing. And Anna got me started on this when we first covered the story, and it's been growing, this rage has been growing inside of me about their hypocrisy. So where are they? Where is all the Ben Shapiros and the Milos and all their defenders and the Ann Coulters, et cetera? Whenever they're getting paid a lot of money to speak on those campuses, all of a sudden, free speech! Oh my God, they took my freedom of thought away. but my thoughts are all gone. Okay. Now, we defend those guys. Now, I think that they're clowns. I think their speech is disgraceful, etc. You name it, any adjective you like there. But they have a right to say it, and they have a right to get paid a lot of money to say it on a college campus. And I'm in favor of that. We've been saying it from day one. But I've noticed that the right wing online is not animated about this professor's freedom of speech. All of a sudden, they couldn't care less about freedom of speech. In fact, they're the ones who want her fired for speaking out.
No, but here's the issue. And I don't feel bad about the fact that we're fair when it comes to things like this, that we're able to, you know, look at both sides, understand what the right thing to do is, and still want to protect the speech of those that we disagree with. I think that that makes you a good person who genuinely believes in the Constitution. But at the same time, I go back and forth from feeling proud of not having this ridiculous, you know, pro-liberal, anti-conservative stance to feeling like a sucker, right? Because the reality is when conservatives do what they do at Berkeley, for instance, it's not really about protecting free speech. They have created a business out of creating a circus around them. They want attention, and the best way to get that attention is to put yourself in a victim's shoes. I am the victim. I have been banned and censored, and look at these progressives and these liberals. They're not letting me speak. It's all about getting into the news and being part of a conversation, and it's pathetic. It's pathetic.
If you're going to do that, at least have the intellectual consistency so you could pretend later that you were honest and principled to defend the professor. But they're not going to do that. Of course they're not. So and now you look at all the right wingers online attacking her and offline as well. One of the guys said this is not a matter of free speech, it's a matter of human decency.
Please.
But wait a minute, right wingers are in favor of Ann Coulter coming onto college campuses talking about how she is upset about the browning of America.
She calls immigrants peasants. She says immigrants from Mexico are peasants and we don't want them here. Is that great speech?
Human decency. Yeah. That's hilarious. And then another person declared, a lot of them do, declared what the professor said here as hate speech. No. I know you can't wait to charge others with racism even if it doesn't make any sense, or hate speech even when it doesn't make. But I need to explain to you, because you're either purposely obtuse or really not very intelligent, what hate speech is. Hate speech isn't, I hate this person and I have spoken about them. Okay. No, it is about a particular group. So there is no group of Barbara Bushes that she offended and targeted. Like, man, if you're a Barbara Bush, I categorically hate you for just being a Barbara Bush. No, she did not like Barbara Bush for the things that Barbara Bush did. So, for example, if you hate me, which for a lot of you right wing trolls, check, and you want to talk about that, that is not hate speech. It might be hateful, but it's not hate speech.
In fact, we would support you if you wanted to go on a college campus and talk about that.
That's right.
Right?
Okay?
Like, it's crazy.
Hate speech is if you say, well, I don't like Cheng, not because he's a left wing, whatever, fill in the adjective, but I don't like him because he's a dirty Turk and I hate all dirty Turks. Okay. I'm so thick-skinned, I don't care about anything. But yes, that would be hate speech because you're attacking a whole group. All right, I have to explain to people because they don't get it. But finally, my favorite one was a guy who tweeted in, just heard that the fat, despicable pig, Randa Jarrar, won't face discipline. Unbelievable, except Fresno State campus of worthless scum. This guy wants her fired for saying offensive things. And totally missed the irony of his tweet.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also are easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
That's America. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Two Republican lawmakers in the state of Colorado have proposed legislation that would punish districts and organizations that encourage teachers who go on strike. And the punishment could include jail time. Let me give you the details. The bill prohibits districts from supporting teachers' strikes and requires schools to dock a teacher's pay for each day they participate in a walkout. The teachers could also face up to 6 months in jail and a $500 daily fine if they violate a court order to stop striking. State Senator Bob Gardner and Representative Paul Lundeen both proposed this legislation, and it's absolutely despicable and unconstitutional because you are essentially banning teachers from coming together, protesting, and practicing their First Amendment rights. The law would allow school districts to seek a court injunction against teachers and teacher organizations that are threatening to strike. If the organization violates the court order, it faces a fine of up to $10,000 a day and a ban on representing teachers in the state for up to a year. Now, teachers in the state of Colorado are not happy about their pay. They are at the bottom of the list when it comes to states and how they compensate teachers. They're poised to participate in a lobbying effort in Denver on Tuesday and Thursday of this week, prompting at least a dozen school districts in the state to cancel school. Also, the days of action at the Capitol is not a strike or even a mass teacher walkout. Bill Hutchinson told ABC News he's part of this organized effort. She is part of this organized effort. I'm sorry, Bill Hutchinson is probably a reporter with ABC News. But a representative for the teachers said that and said that she said most of the teachers participating in the event will be using the 2 personal leave days they earn annually. First of all, let's stop for a second. The teachers are going to use 1 of their 2 personal leave days that they get each year. They get 2 personal leave days each year. They get two. Okay, they barely get paid anything, and then they get two. Colorado is number 46 out of 50 states when it comes to teacher compensation. That's why they're upset, and they don't want to do, you know, this mass walkout and miss out on their pay. So they're going to use the 1 of 2 days that they get for personal leave.
So these Republicans who want to put these teachers in prison say, yeah, we're number 46. Deal with it. And if you don't bow your head, I'm going to put you away, and I'm going to fine you, and I'm going to destroy the organization that represents you. Now, their hilarious excuses, no, they still have their First Amendment rights, but if I can get a court that I control to put an injunction on them, and then they continue to speak out, I mean, what do they think? They have money? No, money is speech. Speech is not actually speech. Then we'll put them in prison. And so it's preposterous, and is absolutely right, it's unconstitutional. By the way, they also can be fired without a hearing. They're like, we don't want to hear you out. The minute you cross our interests, you're done. You're destroyed, you're fired, you're put in prison, and you're fined. How dare you complain that you have the 46th lowest pay in the country? Colorado's too busy giving tax cuts to the rich to be worried about you. And now, the teachers point out, first of all, no more corporate tax cuts. If you're not going to do what the law dictates, and now this is really important and interesting, and so an argument could be made that we should put the Republican legislators in jail, because in the year 2000, the citizens of Colorado voted for Amendment 23, and that requires the state to increase funding for education at the annual rate of inflation. But the legislators were like, yeah, I don't think so. You didn't give me money. I didn't get bribed. So no, I don't care that I'm breaking the law. What am I, a legislator whose job is to create laws? No, no, I'm not going to follow the law. So they have not adjusted for inflation for 9 years. So that cost, that actually cost the education system in Colorado. And if you live in Colorado, that costs your kids a quality education to the tune of $6.6 billion.
Yeah.
So when are you going to give the $6.6 billion back? Well, we're not going to because we're still passing tax cuts. All right, and if you complain that I'm giving everything to the rich and nothing to your kids, so they never have an opportunity to learn, to get an education, and to become rich themselves, they never have a shot at the American dream, don't care, I'll put you in prison. Thank you, Republicans, for clarifying what your position is.
Exactly. Vote them out. And let's start off with the two state lawmakers who proposed this legislation in the first place. By the way, Carrie Dahlman is the woman who represents some of these teachers. She is part of the Colorado Education Association, and she is fighting this pretty aggressively, and I'm glad that she's doing so. But Senator Bob Gardner, State Senator Bob Gardner, has responded to the criticism, because I'm guessing there's been quite a bit. And here's what he has to say. It is not in any way an attempt to silence teachers' voices. They have the right to assemble, protest, associate, demonstrate, whatever they wish, and I would defend their right to do that. Except I just proposed legislation that would punish teachers' organizations and teachers for ever having the audacity to stand up to us because we didn't fulfill our promises and they're barely getting paid for their jobs. It's disgusting, and I hope he gets voted out of office.
Okay, one last thing. It just so we're clear, it's not just teachers who would go on strike. This bill has language that says educators caught directly or indirectly inducing a protest or encouraging a protest would be imprisoned. So that's basically a thought crime. It's funny because I thought conservatives were in favor of freedom of thought. I mean, that's what Kanye West tells me. That's what Donald Trump tells me. That's what all the guys online tell me who are conservatives. But now Republicans want to imprison you for your thoughts. Kanye, on the other hand, can have any goddamn thought he likes. We don't care if we get to counter his speech. We're not trying to take his speech away. But in this case, they're literally trying to take speech away and imprison you if you have the wrong thoughts. Again, Republicans, thank you for clarifying what your real positions are. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, the devastating story that I've been telling you about all day. It's gut-wrenching. We've got to fix this country. Thanks for watching or listening to this free version of the Young Turks podcast. You know that the full show is at tytnetwork.com/join. If you become a member, you get the full show ad-free. We love you for watching or listening. Either way, there's going to be a new free podcast tomorrow. You can keep on doing that. But if you want to get the full show ad-free, tytnetwork.com/join. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/tyt. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.